The lesson for today is from the book of Exodus. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. The word of the Lord.
So there was a day two scientists approached God, and they said, "You're never going to believe this, but we have figured out how to create humans." And God said, "I can't wait to see how this works. Show me." So the scientists bent down to pick up some dust, and God said, "No, no, 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 no. You make your own dirt." The issue of creation has long been debated. How long ago it started. How long the 6 days of creation really were. How everything came to be and how it fits together. Literally for centuries, for millennia, people have debated how everything came to be. And it was in a dark cloud of smoke and fire that God came down. And he spoke to his people, the Israelites. He'd set them free from slavery in Egypt. And they were in the wilderness. They were gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai. And God descended in this thick cloud of smoke and fire and darkness. And he said to his people, "Over 6 days you will labor and do your work. But on the seventh day, you will not work. For in 6 days, Yahweh," in other words, he's talking about himself, "made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. And on the seventh day, he rested." That was a brand new concept. Nowhere do we have in history, nowhere is there any indication that ancient civilization lived on this particular cycle of working 6 days, resting one, working six, resting one. They apparently just worked every day. As we look at creation, the question that we ask this morning in our series on apologetics is this: was the world created in 6 days? And 6 days here, we're talking about six 24-hour regular days. And to that, I will add another question. Does it matter? What difference does it make if God created in six regular, ordinary days? It's not a salvation issue. Our salvation is dependent on our faith in Jesus Christ and inviting him to be a part of our lives. But that doesn't mean the issue of a six-day creation is then irrelevant. So I want to take a look at that this morning. I have four things that I want to talk about. Jesus himself spoke of a literal creation. He was out with his disciples. There were crowds. He was teaching and healing, and who showed up but his favorite Pharisees? And they were arguing with him, as they often did, looking for a way to trip him up, looking for some way to point to him and say, "See, you really aren't who you say you are." And that particular day, they were arguing about the issue of divorce. And this is what Jesus said. This is from Mark chapter 10. Jesus says, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." From the beginning of creation. Nothing there about there having been thousands, millions, billions of years that went on before God created man. The second thing, Jesus also stresses the importance of believing what it is that Moses wrote. Now, most scholars will tell you that they're pretty darn sure that Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. It's called the Pentateuch. You know, your five favorite verses: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses wrote those books. But what Jesus is saying is, if you can't believe what Moses wrote, how will you believe my words. So this we find in John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47. Jesus says this, if you believed in Moses, you would have believed in me because he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? And we see from today's huge reading that Moses received, that he taught, and that he wrote about a six-day creation in the middle of the Ten Commandments. What Scott read today is part of the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But there's more. Number three, if we don't believe in a six-day creation, that pretty much shakes the foundation of Scripture. Because you see, this question that we ask today, was the world created in 6 days, really is dependent on whether or not we believe that Scripture is truth. Whether or not we believe that we can trust Scripture. Whether or not we believe that God exists. And so as we move through these weeks in our apologetic study, it's as though 1 week builds on the next, on the next, on the next. And if we can say no to any of those three things, then it probably doesn't matter to us how long it took God to create or what that looks like. But if we believe that this is God's word, if we believe that Scripture is true, that God himself inspired those folks to write down Scripture, if we believe that, then why in heaven's name would God say that he created the world in 6 days if that's not what happened? You see, here's the thing about Scripture. We don't get to pick and choose what's in here to believe. It isn't like we can say, well, okay, I believe that Jesus was arrested, that he was tortured, that he was crucified, that he died, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And, well, we know he wasn't in the tomb because the women went and the stone was rolled away and he was gone. I can believe that. But that whole thing about Jonah and the fish, that's way out there. And Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and that whole thing about the flood, I'm not sure about that. We don't get to pick and choose. Either we believe this or we don't. Either we're all in or we're not. And it's not science's job to interpret Scripture. Pastor Matt told us early on, it was the second week, that the purpose of science is simply to prove that which already exists. And he talked about gravity. Gravity's been around much longer than Newton. Gravity was here long before Newton. Science merely proved that gravity existed. So how do we believe this? Look at the words from Hebrews 11. The writer of Hebrews says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. By faith, we believe the universe was formed at God's command. So that what is seen, so in other words, what we can see now, was not made out of what was visible. In other words, what he's saying is, we can see what was created, but God created ex nihilo, out of nothing. There was no bang, there were no random molecules that smashed together. God created out of nothing. If you believe this to be true, the first 4 or 5 words in this book tell us everything. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. And the Hebrew word for create is bara. And it means that whatever is created, the materials that are necessary to create are created as well. It's not like God said, oh, well, I'll take some of this from over here and some of this from over here and some of this from back here and we'll put it together and we'll create. No, he created the basics that created everything else. Creation implies doing something that nature can't do. Nature cannot bring itself into existence. Here's number four. One more thought. When God finished creating and he looked around at everything, he looked at it and he saw that it was good. Okay? And humans were very good. Here, good means perfect. In fact, if we look at an extended period of time for those 6 days of creation, if we believe that the first day took thousands of years and the second day took thousands of years, if we believe that, then what we will see is that there was corruption, there were thorns and thistles, and there was death long before God created Adam and Eve. And we know that because if we believe that fossils and all of that came first, to have fossils, things have to die. But if we believe that, instead of a 6-day creation, that turns everything upside down. Because Scripture tells us that it was Adam's disobedience to God and it was Adam's sin that resulted in death. That the suffering of animals, that the suffering of people is a direct result of Adam sinning. A direct result of Adam's disobedience. If, in fact, the universe can... can't read my notes. If, in fact, the universe contained already death and suffering, then where does that leave, number one, the creation of humans? But number two, what does that mean for Jesus' redemption, not just for us, but for all of creation? Because if the original creation, starting with Adam and Eve, a perfect creation, if in fact that perfect creation became imperfect with the sin of Adam and Eve, that affects everything that comes after it. Absolutely everything that comes after it. But if there was already sin and death in the world, then what's really truly the nature of our redemption? Where does that leave us? Not only with our redemption, but with the new creation that Jesus promised. The new creation that comes when he comes again. Not only do we not get to pick and choose what Scripture we want to believe, but we use Scripture to interpret Scripture. Let me explain what I mean. So, events that are associated with a 6-day creation, a 24-hour day creation, there's a common thread with them throughout Scripture. Let me explain. Moses connects the 6 days of creation with the fourth commandment. Okay? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. Right in the middle of the fourth commandment, Moses talks about 6 days of creation. If we go farther in the Old Testament to the book of the prophet Isaiah and we go to chapter 45, we will see that Isaiah 2 speaks about how God created man at the same time he created the heavens and the earth. But there's more. If we go to Matthew chapter 24, We see that Jesus equates his second coming with the flood of Noah. Okay, so let me connect the dots. So we have creation, it's perfect, they sin, evil comes into the world. And at the point of the flood, evil is running rampant, and God decides he's going to start over, he's going to wipe out everything except for Noah and his family and the animals in the ark. When Jesus comes again, evil will be destroyed. But there's more. If you go to the beginning of Luke's gospel, his genealogy of Jesus goes all the way back to Adam. And Peter, in 2 Peter 3, again talks about the connection between the creation, the flood, and the judgment that's yet to come. All of that within a framework of a six-day creation. But there are those who choose to believe, who choose to take the 6 days of creation and intertwine them with evolution. But if we do that, then God's entire plan for salvation is contradicted. If other species involved, if we started with something in the water that moved to the land, that started to crawl, that started to walk, that eventually turned into humans, into you and I, if that actually happened, then there is no first two people. There's no Adam and Eve. And that means that there is no fall. And that means then that there's nothing that is brought to death as a result of sin and disobedience. Which means then that God has always intended for death to be the means by which the species evolve from one thing to the next. But that isn't what God intended. God didn't intend for there to be death. God created in perfection. He created Adam and Eve. He put them in a garden, ready to go, trees bearing fruit, plants ready to eat. And he said, all of this is yours. Tend it, keep it, take care of it. You can eat anything you want except from that tree over there. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you eat from that tree, you will die. Where did Adam and Eve eat from? The tree over here. Never mind that they had a gazillion others. When they ate from that tree, they were disobedient. And the perfect creation that God had was no more perfect. There was a chasm that opened up between God and what he created. And that's why he sent his son, to be the one that dies in sin, in our sin, to defeat the powers of death, to defeat the powers of evil, to take away pain and sadness and suffering. And if you read the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, you will see that Jesus promises that he will wipe away every tear. Evolution is contradictory to the biblical account of creation, to the narrative of creation in Genesis. And if you go to your Bible, to Genesis chapter 1, you will find that there are at least 10 different times that the writer of Genesis talks about how God created plants according to their kind and animals according to their kind. So when he created the giraffe, it was the giraffe that you and I know. When he created oak trees or apple trees or grapefruit trees, they were already ready to produce fruit. Some of them must have been producing fruit. Adam and Eve needed something to eat. Adam and Eve were created whole, ready to go, adults ready to do whatever it was God had for them to do. There was no long period of development. God spoke and creation happened. And the idea of natural selection, the idea of the survival of the fittest, that wasn't a part of the beginning of creation. Creation was perfect until there was sin. Now, we see natural selection. Now we see survival of the fittest. But that wasn't what God intended in the beginning. But here's the thing about evolution. It doesn't just contradict Scripture. It also contradicts some basic laws of science. So I'm going to give you one, just one. The second law of thermodynamics, okay, you with me so far? Second law of thermodynamics implies that left to itself, everything tends to become less ordered and more disorganized. Left to itself, everything becomes less ordered and more disorganized. Whereas evolution teaches that over the course of time, everything becomes more organized, more complex. That's not the way nature works. Evolution says that changes, that mutations are a good thing. But nature almost always shows that not to be the case. The thing is, neither the theory of evolution or the theory of special creation can be scientifically proven. In other words, they can't be recreated in a lab. The theory of special creation just happened once. We read about it in Genesis. And evolution is so slow that it cannot be measured. Here's something else about this book. It's not intended to be a science textbook. This book is intended to be a book that talks about God's purpose, about His relationship with us, His relationship with creation. So here's one final thought for you. If God created in 6 days, why did it take Him so long? I mean, this is God we're talking about, right? He could have, and everything would have been created. Except that we see that God has taken great care in creation. And if you look at those 6 days in Genesis chapter 1, you will see that the first 3 days are connected to the second 3 days. In fact, there's a parallel between them. So on day one, God created light and space. On day two, He created the sea and the sky. And on day three, He created vegetated land. He created an empty universe. But on day four, God filled the light and space from day one with the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets. And on day five, God filled the empty sea and the sky with birds and marine animals. And on day six, the vastness of the vegetated land was filled with animals. And then finally, humans. The crown of His creation, the climax of His creation, is that's us. And we read in Genesis 1, in 26 and 27, that God created us in His image. Why? Because He wanted to create beings that He could lavish His love on. That's you and I that He's lavishing His love on. He wanted to create beings that He could have a special relationship with. Again, that's you and I. Pastor John last week was talking about 1 Corinthians 13. We call it the love chapter. Love is patient and kind. It's not boastful. It's not jealous. You know, you've heard it at weddings, perhaps at your own. But three words stuck out. Love never fails. God's love never, ever fails, ever. Doesn't matter what bonehead things we do. It doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter if we forget to pray, if we're a week behind in our scripture reading. It doesn't matter. His love for us will never fail. God spoke creation into being through his Son, Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. He created according to his will. He created for his own glory. He created to make known his power and his wisdom and his love. Amen. Well, gracious God, as with a lot of scripture, a six-day creation in light of things that science tells us is kind of hard to wrap our head around. And yet, Lord God, if we believe that your word is true, if we believe that this word is inspired by you, your word says it was 6 days. I know, Lord God, that there are people that don't believe that. There are people that have a hard time reconciling science and scripture. But I also know, Lord God, that I trust you, that I love you, that I believe you. And so I pray for all of us, Lord God, every single one of us, that we will not forget those words from 1 Corinthians, that your love never fails. Amen.